Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday, very rainy Wednesday, March the 23rd, 2022, 15 minutes past the hour, 52 degrees and cloudy skies here in Marion, and I do have to vouch for the cloudy skies. I did make it over to McDonald's this morning, and it is just rainy and overcast. I think the temperatures are supposed to be nice today, but as far as right now goes, not a good looking day outside. But the temperatures will be up today. I think a high of 70 is what I heard. So I guess with every sunshine, a little rain must fall. I do want to thank our guests on the show yesterday. We had a morning full of guests, which I enjoy. Dylan Davis, opera performer who is from Marion, now down in Louisiana doing great things. I hope you enjoyed hearing from Dylan yesterday. And Judge Joe Brown, the always outspoken Judge Joe Brown, whether you like what he has to say or not, I think most people find him interesting. And I thank both of them for coming on yesterday. Do want to let everybody know that I will not be here tomorrow or Friday. Yeah, Thursday or Friday. Tomorrow, I think, will be best of programs. And Friday morning, the pastor will be on with Adam from 9 to 10. Other than that, Friday morning, I'm not sure. I don't know if it'll be best of programs or what it'll be. If Adam might be live, we'll find out on Friday, I guess. But I won't be here for the next couple days, but I will be back next week. And look forward to that. Went to the studio on Monday night. Didn't have a chance to bring this up yesterday, but there were some more cards at the studio and some more messages and some more letters and things of that nature. And again, I can't thank you enough for that. I appreciate that. And it means a lot. So thank you so much for all the cards and letters and reaching out. That's very, very nice. Let's see, what's going on in the news? Well, here's a local story, kind of interesting. Leslie Schneider has resigned as president of the Marion City School Board. Now, Leslie, it was effective immediately, which I think she resigned on Monday, I think it was. And her term, I think, ran to the end of 2023. So they will appoint a new president, which I think they already have done. I think it was Kelly McKay who was appointed the new president, and they will start looking for a new board member for the Marion City School Board. It's interesting. I've known Leslie for a long time. I think she enjoyed the position. Don't exactly know what happened there. I know a new school board came in January. Don't know if that had anything to do with it or not. But we certainly wish Leslie the best. She's a very, very smart, intelligent person. And she's come a long way in life. And we wish nothing but the best for her. And I think it's Marion City Schools' loss that she resigned. But it wasn't their fault because she chose to resign. So we wish her the best. All right, what else is new here? We have a guest coming up in about 11 minutes. I hope you're going to enjoy this guest. I'm not going to tell you who it is yet, because I think you'll just enjoy it. So that's coming up here in about 11 minutes. So if you want to call and say anything, we can do that, because we have about 11 minutes before the next guest is coming up. 740-751-4038. I keep getting raves from everybody about how good we sound now. Over the weekend, I did some tinkering with the phone lines and the microphones, and people are saying now you can hear the callers perfectly. You can hear me perfectly over the air. You can hear me good when you call in, and that's exactly what we have wanted. So I'm glad it's all working out at this particular point. I forgot to put the headset on this morning, so we had a little squeal there. Okay, 740-751-4038. What else is new? Well, we found out yesterday that Hillary Clinton has tested positive for COVID. You know, we wish her the best, much like we wish everybody the best who has COVID. It's still going around. I think she's reporting mild symptoms. The former president, Bill Clinton, did not test positive. He does not have COVID. I don't know if we talked about this earlier in the week or not, but the Maury Povich show came to an end, is coming to an end this coming fall, after 31 years on the air. But I've got to tell you, and I've made fun of the Maury show in the past 15 years, because it used to be a normal talk show where he would have guests on and you know, you feel like you accomplished something. But the last 15 years, or maybe even 20, it's just been paternity tests. You know, who is the father of this child? And to me, that's not really great radio. I don't know what you learn from that. It's not great broadcasting. It's certainly not great television. But people watched for a very long time, but apparently they're not watching anymore. Now, Maury, it's funny because now, see, this is how media works. Maury was canceled. I believe the cancellation came over the weekend. Now, all the stories yesterday were that Maury had retired. So I'm sure what happened was his company went to him and said, listen, Maury, you know, we don't want you anymore. So instead of saying I was fired, he's retiring. But my guess is if somebody offers Maury Povich a job, that retirement will end rather quickly. Just my thought. You know, the same thing has went on with Jerry Springer, which is very peculiar. You know, the Jerry Springer show ended a few years ago, and he started doing this Judge Jerry show, and it got canceled as well. It will run through the fall, but after 3 years, it's been canceled. And Jerry said he's retiring from television while still healthy. Well, are you really retiring? Or did your show get canceled? Maybe that's the new thing. When you get canceled, you just say you're retiring. So I guess if I'm ever taken off the air, what I'll say is I'll say, well, I'm actually retiring. But if you offer me a job, I'll be back. Like Arnold Schwarzenegger. 7 minutes left till our guest comes on here, 23 minutes past the hour. Does anybody have anything to say about any of this? Hillary Clinton getting COVID? Or Leslie Schneider resigning from the Marion City School Board, or Maury being canceled after 31 years, Judge Jerry being gone after 3 years, Jerry Springer. Oh, I got my car back. I have to brag about this. I got my car back on Monday, and works great. No more screeching and clanging and clacking when I put my brakes on. So great to have the car back. Now I can travel around. Now I can be a real menace on the roads. You know, I have had a journey with this car over about the last 6 months. First, the light came on that said I needed a maintenance. So I went in. I had the oil changed. I had all the maintenance done. They said everything was good. I was happy with this. And all was happy. Well, about a week after I got the maintenance done, my tire went flat. My front tire went flat. So then I had to get the tire changed. So I got a new tire. And almost immediately after I got the tire changed, I noticed the brakes were making a noise. Then I had to take some time off where I couldn't go out and be around people. So I could not get over to the mechanics to take my car over. But I finally got it over there. I had somebody do it for me. And the brakes are changed now. So I think the car is in very good shape now. I've had the point-to-point inspection done. I've had the oil changed. I've had all the other fluids tested. I've had the tire replaced. And now I've had the brake pads replaced as well. So I should be able to drive from here to California at this point with no problems. Now, see, I hope I'm not cursing myself that now something bad will happen. 25 minutes past the hour here, WWGH Radio Time, 740-751-4038. A guest will be joining us here in about 5 minutes. Now, next hour, we should just have open phone lines the entire hour. So if you have something to say about the guest we have coming up here at 30 minutes past the hour, or the interview, which will be live, we'll have a whole conversation about it next hour from 9:10 until 10 a.m. Now, Glenn Coble will be on by himself today because I have to run to an appointment. Glenn will be on from 10:10 until 12 noon, and then he'll be on with Dr. Feynman today from 12:15 until 1 p.m. Then we have Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond today, 4:10 to 5 p.m. Then we have Live at 5, the show with no name, with Pastor Craig, Terry Tackett, and Nate Redmond from 5:15 until 6 p.m. And then we have the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon from 6:10 until 7 p.m. A great day of live programming right here on WWGH Radio. 26 minutes past the hour. Again, phone lines are open. 740-751-4038. There's a story I'm particularly not talking about right now because I want to discuss this with the guest we have coming on. And it should be a lively conversation, to say the least. But a good conversation. That's what we want. We want conversations where the audience is able to learn something. And hopefully, that's what happens in the next 30 minutes. I always believe in going to the source. When there's a story, nine times out of 10, I really don't want to just report the story. If I can get the source on, I want to talk to the source. And that's what we're going to do here in about 3 minutes. Don't forget, you can check out the website anytime, WWGH1071.com, or download the free TuneIn app on any mobile device to listen to WWGH anywhere in the world. 28 minutes past the hour here. Maybe this is our guest coming up here. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, how long are you going to be where you can't be around people?
I don't know. I have a test today, and I think I'll know more then.
They must have you on a drug that compromises your immune system or something?
I think that's something to it, but they've never really checked my immune system, but I think they're going to do it today. So that's why I'm not going to be on with Glenn today.
But eventually you will get back to the studio.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully sooner than later. How do I sound this morning?
Oh, you sound great.
Okay, well, hey, I'm going to get ready for the guest, but thanks for calling.
Yep.
All right. Yeah, it's just a... I really don't know if it's a drug or what it is that has... And they're not even sure that my immune system is down. That's what the test today will tell us. Is my immune system up enough to go out and around people? But there is a fear right now because of the pandemic. That was also explained to me, that if this was not pandemic time, that this might not be such an issue. But, unfortunately, it is pandemic time. And when your immune system's down, you don't want to get caught with anything unfortunate. Hopefully it's a good report today. We can only hope. Now remember, phone lines will be open 9:15 until 10 a.m. this morning after our guest joins us here for 30 minutes live. And I think there'll be a lot of discussion about the guest being on, because heaven knows there's a lot to talk about. You know, that's the great thing about getting up every morning. There's never a dull moment. There's never a moment where you get up in the morning and there's nothing. Every morning there's something. Maybe this is our guest here. We hope so. I believe it is. And as we continue on this morning, we are joined by one of the gubernatorial candidates here in Ohio in the Republican primary, which will take place in less than 2 months. And he's had some interesting events happen to him since last he was with us, I believe back in October. We're so glad he's back live this morning for 30 minutes. I see his signs all over Marion here when I drive through Marion. He is Joe Blystone. Mr. Blystone, how are you?
Hey, I'm good, Scott. How are you, buddy?
Hey, doing well. Good to talk with you again. And I see your signs all over town. That must make you feel good.
Well, it does. That just shows that people are engaged. They're wide awake. They're ready to take their state back, which is a good sight, and it inspires me to just work hard.
You know, Mr. Blystone, we've got about 30 minutes here, and there's a lot to cover, and I enjoy the conversations with you because you answer the questions. And I appreciate that. So let's get into it here. This past weekend at the Beef Expo, there was a little bit of a dust-up between you and Governor DeWine, and there have been some different takes on exactly what happened. Take us through what happened. Why were you at the Beef Expo? Why was Governor DeWine there? And what happened?
Well, as you know, I'm a cattle guy, and we were going down there just to walk around and introduce you know, meet people, shake hands, that sort of thing, and never expecting to run into Governor DeWine down there. That's kind of out of his environment. That's out of what I call the norm for him. But I feel he's being pinched because he knows he's losing the rural vote. So I heard the auctioneer come over the loudspeaker that. Governor DeWine was in participation there, and I walked over to where he was at and basically walked up to him and asked him why he backed out of the debate that was supposed to happen the 29th of this month through the Ohio Debate Commission. And I basically said, you know, the folks here in Ohio that you are vying for their vote, they want to ask you questions regarding how you've run our state for the last 2 years. And you owe it to them to get on a stage with me and do this debate. And basically he said that he's not going to debate. He doesn't have to. The folks here in Ohio know where he stands on policy. And I said, well, you have a lot to answer for. And I said, why won't you debate? Are you a coward? And he grabbed my shoulder, and he kind of leaned into me, and he said, I'm going to kick your ass. And at that time, you can see the video out there. His handlers scooped him up and pushed him right down the aisleway. But this is the kind of behavior. This is the behavior from our governor. He doesn't want to do town halls. He doesn't want to get in front of his constituents because his constituents are going to hold him accountable and ask questions. So he's not going to do that. I've been all over this state. I'll talk to anybody and everybody. but Governor DeWine will not do that.
Mr. Blystone, it's interesting because Governor DeWine released a quote, I think it was to the Columbus Dispatch after this event. He said, and this is his quote, "I'm not going to go into what I said," DeWine said Tuesday, yesterday, "but what I did say was a reference to me winning the race, and I expressed to him my confidence that I would defeat him in the race for governor." When he said he was going to kick your hindquarters, do you think that's what he was referring to, winning the race, or did he mean that in a physical way?
You know, when he grabbed me and said those words, I don't know. I felt it was a little menacing to him. You know what he meant. I don't know. I can't read his mind. But it's not behavior becoming of a governor. And he owes it to the people to debate and answer for what he's done in this state.
Governor DeWine is a man, I believe, in his late 70s at this point. He's not a tall man in stature. Do you think that he wanted to pick a fight? I mean, grabbing a hold of somebody's shirt, I've seen the video, but I can't imagine he would want to pick a fight with somebody.
I don't know. I think it was very odd to me. I didn't even know what to say. He caught me on guard there, that, you know, he would actually say something like that. You know, we're having a conversation, and instead of answering the question, you know, politicians, they always want to deflect why they won't do something. And the people here in Ohio, we're just kind of done with deflecting. We want answers. We want to know what you're going to do for us. We want representation, because we don't have that here in Ohio. And many of our rights are being taken away, and the people here in Ohio are done.
Wanted to ask you this on this topic. Whether it was meant as in an election or in a physical way, do you think Governor DeWine can kick your hindquarters?
Well, I think maybe I would make that fight a little fair. I'd let him fight my wife. I think he's barking up the wrong tree with me.
Well, there you go. The debate where this all started, with you referring to him as a coward for not participating in the debate, and also Mr. Renacci, who's also running for governor in this primary, has backed out of the debate. Why do you think this happened?
Well, that's the question. Why do these folks not want to get on a statewide platform so everybody can see and have their questions answered? That's the elephant in the room. Why do they not want to do this? Do they have something to hide? Do they not want to be questioned on their management, on their past voting records? Why? And that's the question you're going to have to ask them. Why did they back out of that debate? I was the only one that was willing to do that debate. Even Mr. Representative Hood, he didn't even call the Ohio Debate Commission back. And again, if you're not willing to participate in a debate on a statewide platform in front of television cameras, then by gosh, you shouldn't be running for governor.
It's an interesting point. Mr. Renacci, who has been one of the bigger names in this race, how do you feel about him at this point with under 60 days to go till the primary?
Well, I believe the gentleman is, I think he thinks his money is going to get him over the finish line here. He was flailing back when he was trying to decide, am I going to run, am I not going to run? I jumped into the race, and I was the first one back in February of last year. We've been on the road 6-7 days a week, talking to anybody and everybody that will sit still enough and let us put out our platform, answer questions. You know, I hope people do their research, because Mr. Renacci's voting record regarding a conservative vote, his record's worse than DeWine's voting record. So if we want more of DeWine, well, Renacci's probably your guy. But I think people don't want a left-leaning, probably I would say a moderate Democrat. They want a true constitutional conservative that is going to prop up our constitutional rights. We're not going to step on our rights at every corner, and we want representation like, you know, like Governor DeSantis is representing his people in Florida. That's what we want in Ohio. Somebody that's going to fight against Washington for Ohioans.
Mr. Blystone, there are a couple issues here that, as you said, the voters are interested to hear about. About a month ago, you were in Lima, and you said, we need to take over every elected position from dog catcher to president of the U.S. We need to go to Columbus and break the whole system in half. What's next is not going to be pretty if we can't solve this at the ballot box. What do you mean by that?
You know, I believe that if they censor our voice and they steal our vote, then what are we left with? Are we left with a civil war? What if they back us into the corner and we're fighting just to take care of our families, or we're fighting against the indoctrination? They want to, you know. They keep going down that path of wanting to take our arms. What is next? Is it a civil war? I don't know. I hope not. We don't want to get to that point. We have to get involved and take the system over so we can make it good, make it righteous. We have to get our election system fixed so we know that our voice and our vote count. And if we keep going down this path of, you know, we're just not involved, we're not engaged, we're comfortable enough to not participate, well, it's, again, I hope you are ready to do what they say, where they say it, and how they say it, because we're there. We have one foot down that pathway.
If you do not end up winning the May primary, do you believe this is a stolen election? Do you believe the election could be stolen from you?
No, that's a big question. I do agree. I think we have to show up in mass numbers. I do believe that President Trump didn't win the Ohio 2020 November election by 8 points. I believe he won this election by more like 16 points, and that can be proven. But we have an AG Yost and we have a Secretary of State LaRose that will not even sit down and look at the evidence. We can provide that evidence to them, but they refuse to sit down and look at it.
If this is just a question, if you do not win the May primary, are you advocating for actually going to the state house in Columbus and protesting, what exactly would that look like?
You know, if I don't win the election, I don't win the election. I mean, there's nothing I'm going to do beyond that besides put a big old for sale sign out in front of my farm. If I can't get this state turned around back to some kind of scenario of what this country was built on, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and stand up for our rights, our freedoms, our constitution. If I can't get that done, I'm not going to live in this state.
If you don't win the May primary, you're leaving the state of Ohio.
Yes, sir.
Oh. That's an interesting point. You mentioned Secretary of State LaRose, and I know you're a straight shooter, and you'll answer this, because some charges have been levied against you in the last day publicly. I'm going to read this so I don't get it wrong. Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose's office says Republican Joe Blystone's campaign for governor must refund a total of more than $100,000 in contributions that violate the state's limit on cash donations or ban on corporate donations. The flag contributions include more than $101,000 in donations that exceed the state's limit of $100 for each contribution made in cash, according to a March 4th letter sent by Brian Katz, campaign finance director for LaRose's office. Katz also wrote that it's necessary for Blystone to refund $1,100 in in-kind contributions from corporations which aren't allowed to donate to Ohio political candidates. The letter gives Blystone's campaign until March 25th to respond. What's this all about, Mr. Blystone?
Well, again, these are a lot of questions that our attorney and our bookkeepers are working through. We are working to get some of these, get all these questions answered with the Secretary of State. If there was issues that were overlooked or not done correctly, we'll amend, we'll make them right. But, you know, isn't it amazing that they are going after me for $5, $10, and $20 donations, but yet the multi-billionaire corporations like First Energy can put money into PACs and 501s and push that over to candidates like DeWine or Larry Householder or DeWine's daughter, and they spend millions of dollars on these campaigns, but that doesn't get looked into. The dark money and propping up these corrupt candidates has to stop, and these people are worried about my $5 and $10 donations where folks bought a T-shirt and a sign. The hypocrisy of this is above and beyond. You know, the whole system needs reform because it's built for multimillionaires and billionaires. And the grassroots guys, the grassroots candidates, men or women, they try to stomp them out with all the campaign finance where, you know, it's built for them. You need teams of attorneys and teams of CPAs to navigate, thousands of pages of campaign finance. And we as a grassroots campaign that nobody's paid on my campaign, you know, we're trying to navigate it the best we can. And again, I'm not saying we didn't make mistakes, but if we did, we'll make it right.
Do you believe this is an attempt by the Columbus politicians, like LaRose, to get you? Is this a get you to stop you from progressing in this primary?
Oh, absolutely. I think these politicians and my opposition, I think they're doing everything they can to smear me out. And we saw this when Trump was running for president. They tried to smear him out, all the rhetoric, not only while he was running, but when he became president. And they're still doing it because they're afraid he'll come back in 24. You know, we see through their games. We see where they're willing to spend millions of dollars to try to smear the candidates out that they don't want in there. I scare these people to death because I'm not going down there for status quo politics. I'm going down there to break the system in half because it needs a total overhaul. It's not working for the people anymore.
Press release, this note here, the letter given to your campaign says you have until March 25th to respond. That's 2 days. Will your lawyers have a response by Friday, do you know?
Well, I think that's a little misleading. I think it was, don't quote me, but I think there was 20-something days by the time we received that letter. So I don't think that date's right, but anyways, it will be forthcoming.
I just want to let the audience know that Mr. LaRose has said if Blystone's campaign doesn't respond after Friday's deadline, LaRose's office will refer the matter to the Ohio Elections Commission, the letter states.
Okay. Yeah. And obviously, we already have a pending hearing with the commission. So,
another question I have for you here, Mr. Blystone. This is just something going on in Ohio. The Ohio Supreme Court voted on legislative maps, and Republican Justice Maureen O'Connor sided with the Democrats on this issue. So the legislative maps are going back to the drawing board. But what happened, interestingly enough here, is the Ohio House Republicans are now talking about impeaching Justice O'Connor. Would you be for that?
Yes, absolutely. She's holding up progress here. I believe that the maps are drawn the best they can be. I believe that they are fair, and I believe it should be done. But she's playing politics, and why? I guess that's a good answer or a good question for Justice O'Connor. But we need to get this done, and I'm not sure why we keep holding that up.
Is there a possibility that, because I think the argument has been made that the legislative maps have favored the Republicans in the state for a long time, and they're still favoring the Republicans, not evenly favoring Democrats and Republicans, and that's why Justice O'Connor felt that the maps put in front of her were not fair as of yet. I mean, they've had to redo them, I think, three times already.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Does the maps around Cincinnati, Columbus, and Cleveland, do they prop up the Democratic Party? Absolutely, they do. That's why they're always blue.
The interesting point here is that Justice O'Connor is a Republican. That why did she side the way she did, and would this be grounds for impeachment?
Well, I don't think I think you're using the Republican label very loosely. That's like saying that Governor DeWine's a Republican. There's a lot of rhinos out there that we need to get out of government. You know, the only that's just an R beside their name. That doesn't mean they follow conservatism. Matter of fact, I believe a lot of them don't even know what conservatism is.
We've got about 7 minutes left here with Joe Blystone, a candidate for the Republican primary for governor coming up here in May. A lot of Joe Blystone signs here in Marion. I want to talk about the Intel plant for a second. Certainly, Governor DeWine has aligned himself with the Intel plant. He's been at pretty much all the press conferences, and his campaign commercials make a lot of the Intel plant. What do you make of this plant coming to Ohio?
You know, I don't know a lot of the ins and outs yet, but what I've heard is, you know, it's going to cost the taxpayers, you and I, about $20 billion. And that's not even including the whatever tax abatements or property tax exemptions that they have given these people to bring this plant into Ohio. So, you know, we open up the door, we roll out the red carpet for, you know, whether it's Intel, Google, Facebook, you know, and we give them all these perks, but, you know, those perks have to be paid for. And who pays for them? Well, we the people pay for them. And we don't have any small to medium-sized businesses moving into Ohio because the tax structure is so terrible. We need to focus on our policy in Ohio, get it turned around to where it makes it more enticing for businesses to move here and run their companies. Because right now we're not getting that. We fail in taxes, business taxes in Ohio. We're ranked 45th in the country, and until we combat our tax structure when it comes to businesses, we're not going to prosper in Ohio. It's just going to be more of these big conglomerates that come here. Is it going to provide some jobs? Absolutely. But it's going to be at the expense of Ohio taxpayers.
If you were governor, would you have taken the deal on this Intel plant the way it stands right now?
I would have to know more about the particulars. I can't answer that question. I want to know what exactly it cost and what we had to give away to get these jobs to Ohio.
A couple of quick questions here in our remaining 5 minutes. Obviously, you're not a fan of Governor DeWine's. If he does win the primary and it ends up being him and a Democrat in the fall election, who will you vote for? Would you vote for DeWine?
No, I'm just not going to vote.
Just not going to vote. Okay, another question I have here is on a bill that Governor DeWine signed that made a lot of news. The bill that allowed people to carry concealed firearms without training or permits, he took a lot of heat over this because people felt that he was more for gun protection, and then he signed this bill. Was this a good bill to sign, and why do you believe he did this?
Well, yes, it was a good bill. I believe constitutional carry should have been signed many years ago. You know, our Second Amendment rights are non-negotiable. It doesn't. If you read our Second Amendment rights, it says to bear arms shall not be infringed, and what that means is it doesn't say you have to have a permit to carry a gun. It doesn't say you should have training to have a gun or carry a gun, but we've gone in and we always put roadblocks in the way, and we've seen other states pass constitutional carry, and I know a lot of people are worried about training, but most people they were not aware that you could open carry in this state. With no permit, no training, and that was allowable currently. And folks, when I talk to folks and I educate them on that, they're just unaware. So the only thing this did is now you can that open carry you now can have a jacket on and it can cover that gun up. And it's still legal. So I think DeWine is totally against this bill, but he's in campaign mode. So he's doing things that he wouldn't usually do. But by gosh, he's the guy that tried to hide a red flag law in our last proposed budget. He would like a red flag law passed. That's the kind of governor he represents when it comes to our Second Amendment right. So just because he gave us this constitutional carry, don't trust him and don't forget what he's done the last 2 years.
With 2 minutes left to go here, Mr. Blystone, recently you said, "I'm not against vaccines. I got my vaccines as a child, but I am against this vaccine, the COVID vaccine." Why is that?
Well, you know, if you look at mRNA and just the gentleman who invented the mRNA? When the inventor of it comes out and said this should not be put into any human, I think that should give everybody some hesitation. And we should be looking at why is it that our government is trying to cover up, you know, the excess of 15 and 16 year olds having heart attacks, myocarditis, or all the vaccine injuries that have come about, or death that the government is trying to cover up regarding these vaccines. You know, this. We have questions here that should be answered, but we're not getting the answers, and they still keep trying to push this forward. And now they're even talking about a fourth booster, possibly. you know, I would take hesitation. I would do my research before getting or taking this vaccine. And again, I'm not against it or for it. People need to do their due diligence. They need to research, and if they want to take it, that should be their right. And if they don't, that should be their right too. Just like with the mask, you know, you do you, I'll do me. Nobody should be losing their jobs because they're unwilling to take a vaccine in this country.
We've only got a few seconds here, but the quote is, I got my vaccine as a child, but I am against this vaccine. But you just said you weren't for or against the vaccine. Are you against the vaccine?
Vaccines in general, I guess, is what I want to say. I personally, I'm against this vaccine, but again, I think it should be people's your stance. You want it, get it. But I shouldn't be telling you have to get it. Is what I mean.
The final question: have you received the vaccination?
You know, people have asked me that before, and my answer is I'm not participating in the new norm. My health status is my business between myself and my doctor. It's nobody's business. And when did it become the new norm that people ask you about? It's okay to ask if somebody got a vaccine. It's okay if somebody pries into your medical data. You know, that should be privacy between you and your doctor. And those questions I won't answer. It's nobody's business.
Well, I think the reason this comes up with about 10 seconds left here is you said you got your vaccinations as a child. You offered up that information. And you're saying you're against this vaccine, but then not saying if you got this vaccine or not. So you have offered up some of your personal medical history, that you got the vaccines as a child. Why not tell us about this one? If you're against it, I think most people would think you didn't get it. But when you don't answer, they think you did get it, I would guess.
But it's nobody's business. Do we want to go to Nazi Germany? Is that what we want to be? Show me your papers, tell me what your health status is, or you can't have a job, or you can't come into my restaurant, or you can't stay on the organ transplant list at Cleveland Clinic. I mean, is that where we're getting, that you've got to answer these questions? No, I don't think so.
I think in closing, I think what people would say is the reason you're not answering this is because it would hurt you with your voters if you did get the vaccine.
No, not at all. Because the voters, my supporters, know where I stand unequivocally. I'm the guy who fought against all the mandates when they came down. I never, ever once have worn a mask. I never once made any clientele or any of my employees wear masks all through the pandemic. I'm the only one in this gubernatorial race that stood up for people's rights unequivocally, and I was willing to lose my business to do so. You know, so I am the only one that has put action behind my word.
Mr. Blystone, it is always a pleasure to have you on because you answer the questions, and I do appreciate that, and I hope you will come back before the primary in May, should anything come up.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. I sure do appreciate it. You have a blessed day.
You stay well, Mr. Blystone. Bye-bye.
Joe Blystone will be back here in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. This is WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Back in about 10 minutes.